Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. John 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everybody. What wonderful times of reflection and celebration we enjoyed last weekend, didn't we? As we reflected on the death of our Saviour and then rejoiced in the resurrection of our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Did anybody enjoy those celebrations? Yes, one or two did. Was anybody caught up in the wonderful worship that we enjoyed? Well, that's a few. Yeah, good. Sheila and I were very privileged in that we went to Spring Harvest the few days before, along with some of you, and that sort of prepared us and gave us a bit of oomph. I do have to say, though, that our congregations, both here and in the convention centre, were quite quiet. They didn't seem to me to be greatly over-enthusiastic. And I was reminded of the first time that Sheila and I went to Spring Harvest with a group of, I think probably about 24 young people. And they packed us into two little packing cases. They called them chalets, but they were more like wooden boxes, I think. There we went to four or five seminars every day. We went to the morning Bible study, and we went to the evening worship. And I was reminded of one particular preacher who certainly was very exuberant. His name was Tony Campolo, and he told us that he was an Italian-American. And that explained the fact that he paced up and down, and he jumped up and down, and he wiped his head, and all this animation. It was because of his Italian background. I won't tell you what he said. I'll save that for another occasion because it was pretty amazing. But he did talk about his church, which he said was a black Pentecostal church. And he said he was the only white face there. But the congregation were well into participation and to saying things and to encouragement and to joining in. And he said that the elders sat on the front row, and they would sit there going, "Well, well, preach it, boy, preach it." And then behind the elders, and I use his terminology, were the big mamas, okay? And they were sitting there going, getting louder and louder as it went on. And further back were the young men and the young ladies and other people, and they would be shouting all the time, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen." And after the preacher had preached for about an hour and a half, he would pronounce, Amen. Alternatively, amen. And everybody would jump up and say, amen. And then somebody would start straight away, no musicians, singing. What exuberance and enthusiasm. I'm not sure we're up to that in downtown Stabekk, but I do encourage you and I do give you permission to feel free to participate, not just this morning, but any time during our worship. And just by the way, some people say that the Sunday after Easter is designated as Low Sunday, a contrast to the glories of last Sunday. We don't subscribe to that, okay? For you and I, we continue to worship, we continue to celebrate every Sunday the eternal presence of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And over the next few weeks, we are going to be exploring with the Holy Spirit what particularly our Bible tells us about himself, about the Holy Spirit. And I encourage each one of us to come with open minds and with open hearts to hear what God has prepared for us. Our reading today is the first of three chapters in St. John's Gospel, where Jesus explains to his disciples a little bit about the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, the Counselor, or in the original Greek, the Parakletos. It's important to recognize that he, because that is how Jesus refers to him, the Holy Spirit, didn't just appear at Pentecost. He's been around since the beginning. So the first verse in the Bible tells us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, as was Jesus Christ, because the beginning of John's Gospel tells us, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And throughout the Old Testament, we hear of the Holy Spirit coming upon the followers of God and empowering them in pretty incredible ways. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson so that he tore apart a lion which was attacking him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Ahiezrites to follow him. And Gideon, with 300 people, overthrew a much greater army because the Holy Spirit was on them. In Isaiah 61, we read that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. We're not sure whether that applied to both Isaiah and to Jesus, but it certainly applied to Jesus, as we'll see in a minute. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. And that's just three of many references in the Old Testament to the Holy Spirit at work. In the New Testament, the first two chapters of Luke record the Holy Spirit filling people. So in particular, Zechariah and Elizabeth were filled with the Holy Spirit. And for Mary, the angel came and told her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The groan John the Baptist proclaimed, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, claims Isaiah's prophecy for himself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. And as we read through the Gospels, each one identifies Jesus and the Holy Spirit working together to bring glory to the Father. Now, in this wonderfully Trinitarian chapter 14 of John, there are 38 references to Jesus, either using the name Jesus or Lord, or just I, as he speaks many of the words. Father occurs 22 times, and Holy Spirit occurs 9 times. And verse 26 is probably the closest that the Gospels get to describing the word Trinity, the work of the Trinity, without using that word. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. So let's now whiz through verses 15 to 27 to see what Jesus promises his followers, and that includes you and me, about the Holy Spirit. You might like to follow it in your Bibles. I've put some more Bibles out today. Page 1134, John 14, beginning at verse 15. And I've come up with 6 pretty awesome promises. There is, in fact, much more in there, but we're going to concentrate this morning on the promises of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, verse 16, Jesus promises us another counselor. Jesus knows that after his passion, which we've just celebrated, he's going back to heaven. And he expands a bit more on that in chapter 16. But here he assures his followers that his Father will give them another helper or a counselor. Note, another implies that the gift, the person, the Spirit will be like Jesus. We've already hinted at the difficulty of translating parakletos. Our English vocabulary is just totally inadequate, as you can see by looking at the different translations of the Bible, because they use a different word. So, for example, some of them take the legal aspect associated with a counselor or an advocate, someone who will represent us and come alongside us legally. And then other translations talk about a comforter or a helper, implying a more personal relationship. Well, the Holy Spirit is all of this and so much more. And then in verse 17, we read that he is the Spirit of truth. Are you aware of God ever promising lies? No? Are you aware of Jesus even telling lies, ever telling lies? No? We're getting better. The volume's rising. Okay. Well, the Holy Spirit is God, and he speaks the truth. Like Jesus, it will sometimes be challenging truth. Sometimes it will require us to change our ways and our thoughts. But he, the God of love, knows the best ways for you and for me. And he only promises his obedient followers good things, good gifts. But note that he also expects us and enables us to speak the truth. That's a bit of a sobering thought, isn't it? We are expected always to speak the words of truth. Second part of verse 17 tells us that he lives with you and he will be in you. The disciples had seen plenty of evidence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work together. They'd even experienced his power as they had preached, as they'd stepped out in healing, as they'd driven out evil spirits and so much more. Little did they know what was to come when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and how he affected their lives for the rest of their lives. Just have a read of Acts to see how they were changed and how they changed the world themselves. When you and I become a Christian, when we became a Christian, we invited Jesus to come. We asked him to forgive us and then to come into our lives. And it was by his Holy Spirit that he came into our spirits and made us holy. Maybe we have already experienced some of the wonderful things that God wants to release in us through the inworking of his Holy Spirit. But I can assure you that God has got even more that he wants to do in us, and he wants to do through us as well. He will be in you. And then verse 18, he will assure us of who we are. I will not leave you as orphans. And then a little bit later, verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. The Holy Spirit, living within us, provides us with the familial tie to the Holy Trinity. You and I are part of the family of God. Do you feel part of the family? Yeah, good. Well, if you're a Christian, then you most certainly are. Just read, let us read what St. Paul has got to say to the church in Rome about being sons and daughters. He says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, that means sons and daughters, for you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Hallelujah. Are you getting excited? That's two of us. Now, please note, I'm going to miss out those wonderful pronouncements of God's love. Verse 19 to 24. We can come back to those on another occasion. It talks about the oneness of the Father and the Son. And it talks about our privileged position of love in this relationship. Do read that, please, at home. So we come to the fifth promise, that the Counselor, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus, speaking to his disciples on the last night that he was going to be as a person on this earth, the night before he was crucified, he assures them, you ain't going to be alone. Don't worry if you forget some of the things that I've taught you, some of the things that we know in here. I'm going to send you the Parakletos. He's going to come and he's going to teach you and he's going to remind you of the kingdom teaching. And another thing he says, I'm going to give you words. Don't worry about words when you're brought into difficult situations. The Holy Spirit will speak in you and speak through you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I wonder, do you ever forget what's in here? Do you ever doubt God's power or love or grace or mercy? Yes, I guess each of us does. Well, don't worry. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Ask for his forgiveness and ask his Holy Spirit to flood you afresh with his presence. Because the sixth promise says this, I will bring you peace. Peace that Paul says surpasses all our understanding. So verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. It is the Holy Spirit speaking God's truth into our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and giving us the assurance that we need. Today, that might be you. God is saying to you today, my peace is with you. Peace I leave with you. So what wonderful promises we have there. And we shall explore more next week as we go on to John and chapter 16. Then in the following weeks, we're going to use passages from the Gospels, from the Old Testament and from Acts to explore more before we come to Pentecost on June the 9th. And there, of course, we will read and we will hear of the fulfilling of the gift that Jesus promised in the lives of his disciples. In subsequent weeks, we're going to explore more of the life-changing effect of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and upon you and I today. And by that time, it'll be at the end of June, and hopefully we will be then firing upon all 12 cylinders of the W12 supercharged engine that God wants to put within us by the power of his Holy Spirit, to the glory of our loving Almighty Father, and with the authority of our Lord Jesus. Are you excited about what God has given to you and to me? I'll ask you again. Are you excited about what God has given you and me?
Yes.
Well, I've got news for you. He's got more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you today that you are with us. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit even more powerfully into our lives to give us peace, to give us joy, and to lead us forward step by step and day by day in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen.